Galileo, John Brown, Thoreau, Christ, and Debs. Heard the night cry, down with traitors, and the dawn shout, up the rebs. Nothing ever seems to bust them. Gallows, crosses, prison bars. Though we try to readjust them, there they are among the stars. Lives of great men all remind us we can write our names on high, and departing, leave behind us thumbprints in the FBI.
Today's program was actually produced for radio in 1996 with Errol Maitland and Dan Coughlin. Special thanks to Gary Helm, Brother Shine, and Julie Drizin. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Monte, Nirmeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Masood, Robbie Karen, Ryan Devereux, Dina Gazdur, Manal Khan, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Nick Gilla, Hugh Grant, Jessel Noor, Jessica Lee. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to WHFR, Dearborn. And now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area. My name is Jay Koronek, station advisor here at WHFR FM, and happy to be with you today. We're live in the studios at Henry Ford College, even though, yes, the college is closed always for the Thanksgiving holidays, although we are always broadcasting, and thanks to all of our volunteer student and alumni staff here, because although yesterday there was only one very special show that was done live, but pretty much our staff is all coming in to do their shows from now on live. And as I said, we're here in the Student Center, Henry Ford College, and our WHFR facility. Happy to broadcast to you today. A happy Thanksgiving weekend to all of you. I assume you all survived by the buying spree of Thanksgiving. And today, also known as Black Friday by most people, although it's really being watered down now, isn't it? Because it seems that Black Friday sales begin like last week, or this Monday at least. And of course, this coming Monday is known as Cyber Monday. And so a lot of the online websites have already started their Cyber Monday or Black Friday extension discounts. Yours truly would just like to remind you, and of course all opinions on the new WHFR Journal are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford College, faculty, staff, students, and administrators. But we do thank, of course, everyone for allowing us to be to speak our minds, and our minds are, we try to make them fairly balanced, and if we do state opinions, then it's because we want to stimulate your thinking, not necessarily to have you believe what we believe. That's the whole idea of college, too. Stimulate your thinking. Let me tell you about Buy Nothing Day, because that's been a holiday for quite a few years now, internationally, and today is Buy Nothing Day. I know it's after 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, November 25th. And you're saying, now you tell me, I didn't know that. I bought all this stuff earlier today or yesterday. Okay. Well, maybe you can just, if you haven't bought anything yet, just remember it's a day of protest. It's an international day of protest against consumerism. Certainly excess or needless consumerism is celebrated annually just after Thanksgiving. And again, it's done. It's a holiday is an international sort of event. There are all kinds of things that all kinds of places where they have their special spins on this. You can look it up, probably Wikipedia, under Buy Nothing Day. There are special celebrations in United Kingdom, Sweden, France, Finland, Japan, Denmark, Netherlands, and Hungary against excess shopping. And, of course, you can ignore Black Friday, they say, in their press release, but maybe you should try buying almost nothing for Christmas. And because it's only 1 month till Christmas. Today is November 25th. Oh, my goodness. But if you buy almost nothing for Christmas, you might experience, they say, the most joyous holiday season you've ever had. So buy absolutely nothing and experience, as the logic would go, everything. It's a matter of changing your habits, but maybe not just for one day. They say, you know, you should consider rediscovering what it means to live freely, that is, not deeply in debt, and to share love and happiness. I'm adding here my own thoughts to all of your endeavors. And in fact, throughout the year, why wait for the Buy Nothing Day or Christmas to be good? Santa knows. So that's Buy Nothing Day. They continue to say, though, if you cannot buy nothing, then consider buying local. And we want to tell you about buy local celebrations. Local Saturday tomorrow and continues for actually 2 weeks here in Dearborn, at least. And I'll tell you about that in a moment. But to finish the buy nothing argument, if you can't buy nothing, then buy local. If you can't buy locally made products from local vendors, then buy regionally made products, you know, somewhere throughout Michigan. And there are some websites, in fact, Buy Michigan or Michigan Only or Michigan Made. Search for those kinds of things. And then if you can't buy regionally, buy nationally. And if you can't buy a national product, then buy internationally. And of course, through the websites, if you use a credit card, I highly recommend you find one that doesn't have a foreign transaction fee. And you can look that up online too, on some credit card website, or just call your own credit card company and say, hey, do you guys add an extra amount for a transaction if I buy something from a foreign country, whether it's Canada or England or Japan? And if they say yes, well, tell them you've got some other options. Because there's a couple of credit cards, some big name ones, and I'm not making an ad for them, but I'm just saying, why pay the extra money if you don't have to? So you can buy international, and only if for some crazy reason you can't do any of these things, buying locally, regionally, nationally, or internationally, then they admit you can go ahead and then buy a corporate brand. So we're trying to stay away, if you go along with the ideas of the Buy Nothing Day Foundation, to not support the corporate brands, which frequently, and this is my opinion, but they frequently don't have the healthiest food products, if you look into that. And maybe there are things that are not that unique or not that special, because they're trying to sell to everybody in the whole world. So they're trying, I think the word is homogenizing. Oh, that's milk, isn't it? You know, they're sort of dumbing down all the products, and therefore there's nothing spectacularly exciting that would be a really excellent gift, wouldn't it? So try to remember some of those choices. If you have to buy local, buy regional, then consider national or international, and only as a last resort, buy a corporate brand. Interesting thought. Okay, buy local Saturday. Let me tell you about it. And he reaches to turn the pages. This is the only local news show on the air that you can hear the pages turning. That's right. So what is Shop Small? Actually, it's a couple of those hashtag things from Facebook. Hashtag Shop Small, hashtag Downtown Dearborn. Okay, here's the press release. Kick off your holiday shopping by supporting small local businesses in Downtown Dearborn starting on Small Business Saturday, which is tomorrow, November 26th, continuing through December 14th. Community partners, including the East and West Dearborn Downtown Development Authorities and the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce, have assembled a wide selection of retailers and restaurants to offer great in-store deals and a chance to win amazing local gifts. Now, American Express, the credit card people, launched its Small Business Saturday a few years ago to encourage people across the country to support small local businesses and, of course, use their credit card while you're doing it, which unfortunately, and I'm generalizing here, it actually costs small businesses more money in service fees if you use your American Express card rather than Visa or MasterCard. Now, sometimes American Express makes very special deals on service fees to very small businesses, and I hope they have locally. You might talk to your small business person before you buy something at their shop and say, I've got an American Express. I've also got a Visa or MasterCard or Discover. Which is cheapest for you in terms of service fees? Because you just pay, whatever the store price is, but they have to pay in addition anywhere from 3% to 5% of every sale price to the credit card company in order to, get the money back from them through their system. And I'm not against that service fee, but I did some research on it once, trying to find out what they were. It was very confusing. I pretended to be a small business in Dearborn, and I went to various sites to try to check out prices. And basically, they really wouldn't tell you unless you talked to someone in person. You had to see a salesperson come by and give you their line and hard pressure. And so whatever, I don't know. It just seemed, what are they hiding? Why can't their small business fees be up front? Is it because they're making special deals for some people, but not for others? Or they're just too embarrassed at how much they're charging some of these vendors. But nonetheless, American Express is to be credited here. And just, I did mention their name after all, that they started this idea, and it's a great idea. Buy Nothing Foundation has no connection to American Express, and they're even recommending Buy Local for all kinds of reasons. But here's the Dearborn spin. Okay. At any of 34 participating locations featuring deals and specials here in Dearborn, if you buy something, you can get a passport stamped as you make these purchases. And they will get this stamp. Does not need to be a special or discount item. And then you are entered as a customer. You're entered to win prizes provided by participating businesses. Apparently, that passport has to be turned back in at some point with the stamps on it. So a downloadable version of this passport for shopping locally in downtown Dearborn, East and West, is available at DearbornWestOnline.com. Again, if you wanted to download and print out that passport sheet, it's at DearbornWestOnline.com. I think you can get those passports at any of the 34 locations here in Dearborn. Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce President Jackie Lovejoy explained, "We have a great selection of established shops and restaurants participating. It's a great opportunity to experience new businesses as well as revisit old favorites." And by the way, tomorrow, the jolly old guy himself, yes, Santa Claus, will be visiting downtown Dearborn from 1 to 4 p.m. in two different locations for photos with him. And that's the Pocket Park next to Brome Burgers, West Dearborn, 1 to 2:30 p.m. And Green Brain Comics on the east side of town, 13936 Michigan Avenue, from 2:30 to 4 p.m. So Santa's going to zap himself, transport himself instantly from 2:30 in West Dearborn to 2:30 in downtown East Dearborn. You know how he makes it to all the good little boys and girls, obviously. He must teleport himself directly from place to place and spend almost no time dropping off presents in order to reach the, 2 billion kids in the world? Anyway, so that's tomorrow, Santa, 1 to 2:30 at Brome Burgers in West Downtown Dearborn, and Green Brain Comics, 2:30 to 4 in Downtown East Dearborn. And there's also a Downtown Dearborn open house on December 14th, the last day of the event. from 4 to 9 p.m. That's at Art Space in downtown East Dearborn. Art Space is formerly the City Hall of Dearborn, no longer though. And that's from 4 to 9. They're going to have a big open house. And the businesses there will be featured inside the old City Hall, featuring snacks, beverages, entertainment, and specials throughout the evening. Again, that's 4 to 9 on December 14th. Why shop local? Because locally owned businesses reinvest more than 70% of their earnings back into their community. So when you shop local, you're helping to grow your downtown, which supports the people who live and work in your community. That's a quote from Dearborn Downtown Dearborn Executive Director Christina Shepherd Decius, or Decius, hyphenated last name there. And they are trying to unify both East and West Downtown Development Authorities, at least in some of their organizational approaches, and that's why Christina Shepherd Decius is the executive director, by her title anyway, of both. I guess that reorganization has already taken place, but that was the idea when they hired her, was that they would more closely coordinate and or blend together the two downtown Dearborn development authorities. And passports, as I mentioned them, must be turned in by Wednesday, December 14th at one of four passport drop-off boxes. I can't just drop it anywhere. There's one at, or any of these participating locations. Ford Community and Performing Arts Center has one. I think you know where that is. Green Brain Comics has another one. Village Picture Frame and Art Gallery in downtown West Dearborn. And also Head to Tail, which is on North Telegraph Road in West Dearborn. So those are the only four places. I'm sure the passport sheet or booklet itself has that information, but you have to drop that back off to be in the running for prizes. Okay, really quick. Here are the participating businesses. Maybe you just recognize some and you remember how good they were and you want to try them. But a lot of them, again, details at West DearbornWestOnline.com, both for East and West, okay? DearbornWestOnline.com. Al Wissam Incorporated, Alenos Pizza and Subs, Alcamo's Market, Arab American National Museum Store, Bailey's Blick Art Materials, Buffalo Wild Wings, Brome Burgers and Shakes, Dearborn Brewing, Dearborn Novelty Art, Faculty Finish Western Store, Famous Hamburger, West Dearborn, Glass Academy, Green Brain Comics, Head to Tail, J.B. Bamboozle's Pub and Grill, Joe's Top Dog Restaurant and Bar, La Fork, Lyle's Sandwich Shop, open Monday through Friday only, by the way, folks, Lou Tai Cafe, Lynch's Incorporated, Matador Restaurant, Nichols Ski and Snowboard Shop, Negocian Rug Company, Painting with a Twist, Dearborn, Michigan, PKSA Karate of Dearborn, Retro Image Antiques, Stephen Bernard Jewelers, Limited, Stormy Records, T-Mobile, Village Picture Frame and Art Gallery, Westbourne Market, Yogurtopia, and Zaza's Italian and Mediterranean Cuisine. Downtown Dearborn, East and West. Shop local if you can. DearbornWestOnline.com. And today, just in the spirit of thankfulness, we want to thank Susan McGraw, our general manager here at WHFR.FM, and also at Henry Ford College, the full-time instructor of telecom classes, telecommunication classes. Also, she's the area coordinator for the telecommunication and journalism programs. Why are we thanking her? Well, she does a great job, of course, in those two positions, but our coffee maker here at WHFR died. Yes, after many years of hot water going through the filter, and well, it just all kinds of things just fell apart. And so we needed a new one, but budget is very tight here. We run a tight ship. We don't waste money, and we did have that Blues benefit a couple weeks ago. Thank you very much for those that attended. We got a couple $100 out of it, and we, you know, that's. Doesn't take much to keep us going because, again, all we have our volunteer staff. And thanks to Henry Ford College for supporting us in many other ways, one I'll mention shortly. Anyway, right now I'm enjoying from the new coffee maker donated by Susan McGraw, a cup of hot cocoa, because it does cocoa or tea or whatever have you, one of those pod things, not like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, it seems to work real well. So thank you very much, Susan McGraw. What a spirit of giving you have. We also thank today the Henry Ford College Facilities Department. I think that's what they call themselves. It used to be called Physical Plant, but then you think of something green and growing. And they do handle landscaping and so on in better weather. But today they had to do electrical maintenance and switching inside, electrical switching inside of the liberal arts building on this campus. And so they had to turn the power off. It's probably still off. But Henry Ford College Facilities, we made a plea to them, and they brought in a portable generator because, you see, even though our studio facilities are in the Student Center here on campus, the Liberal Arts Building is right across from us, the tallest building on campus, and so that's where we put our antenna that we broadcast from. And if you're listening as a podcast or listening online, you don't care. But nonetheless, the antenna does, you know, our broadcast signal does cover 8 to 10 mile radius where a little bit over 200,000 people live and work. So we think it's a great idea to keep broadcasting as much as possible, even on Thanksgiving weekend, Friday. And so the facilities and maintenance people, they brought in a portable generator just for our transmitter rack. And so in the whole building, nothing has AC until they finish their work today. And I was talking to the workmen at lunchtime, and they were having a great lunch. And I figured they weren't done yet, or they wouldn't be eating pizza here. Nonetheless, they're doing a great job. And thank you very much to HFC Facilities for keeping us on the air. It's actually the first time in 32 years, yes, it'll be our 32nd year starting December 20th of broadcasting non-commercial independent music and information to Dearborn and the surrounding areas. A really unique event. Nothing else like it in the Detroit area, that's for sure. No humility at all this weekend either. So that's why we're broadcasting and today, and we thank them for their efforts. As I said, it's the first time in 32 years that we've been able to be on the air despite campus maintenance. So I guess we must be important now. What does it cost to rent a portable generator? I don't know. But thank you very much. It was worth it. Always worth it to speak to our listeners. Let's get into the stories. Okay, the top story of the day is actually information that circulated to Dearborn, folks in Dearborn, back on the 16th of November. Today is the 25th, so 9 days ago they sent out the information. And if you also give the city of Dearborn, cityofdearborn.org, your email address, they'll send you a newsletter, which I think it started monthly. Now it seems to be almost weekly, but that's okay. It's all of the press releases nicely edited and presented. And if you print it out, it's about minus 3 pages back in front of up-to-date information. So if you don't get the papers, and shame on you if you don't subscribe, but and you don't want the hassle of going to their individual websites, because there's not much there anymore either. I mean, not much local. If you want local, I'll tell you more about that. Well, you're listening to the right show anyway. This week's newsletter from City of Dearborn does start with shop local shop Dearborn, but loose leaf, okay? Where's the story? I've lost the story about the loose leaves. The story is loose. Where is it here? Okay. Here we go. Well, this week, I'm in Area B of Dearborn. I live in Dearborn, and they've already collected the final loose leaf collection. That means you rake what leaves you have on your yard into the street next to your curb, and they come and they scoop them up with little scooping machines, and they then dump it into big dump trucks and then supposedly take your leaves away. Of course, after the first scooping, they only do it twice each fall, and so you got to time your raking of leaves very closely. But if you get the message, then you can get all your leaves in the street. Problem is, it's been a warm fall. most of my leaves did fall, but about 30% are still on the trees, and I've got a lot of trees in my neighborhood. As it was, I think it was a 4-foot-deep pile of leaves all across my front curb area, and when they did the scooping, there was still piles about a foot high next to the curb, both my side of the street and the other side, too. They didn't pick favorites. And, of course, all the leaves that fell out, their machines rolled over them, and so there was a bed of crushed leaves across the whole street. And I said this last year, and I'll say it again. Maybe City Hall would like to have your input on how good a job they're doing. How much are they charging for this? Are they using their regular Dearborn people for it? I think so, because all the trucks said, you know, Dearborn on the side of them, all the scoops. So they're using their own equipment and their own people, and maybe they're not busy right now and with anything else. So maybe it's not really costing them anything extra. They might be using salaried people. But I thought a few years back, there were special trucks. Probably they had to pay extra money. Oh, my gosh. City budget. Very tight, of course. But the special trucks came down, and they were huge, and they were trucks that, like, big vacuum trucks. There was one person driving, one person handling the pointing and the direction of the big, and it looked like about at least 1 foot diameter, maybe 2 foot diameter hoses to the curbs and to wherever the leaves were piled up as they drove through on both sides. But there was another person, a third person, that was out there with, and sometimes a fourth, a shovel and or a broom to loosen up the leaves if they were rained on or you know, cars had run them over or something, so that the hose, this huge truck vacuum cleaner, could suck it up. Can you say that on the air? I think that's the only way you can put it. And that did a fantastic job, okay? And I'm sorry, this is a help, but the place is still pretty messy. And of course, where were most of the leaves piled up? For some reason, in front of the driveway. It's sort of like when they do snow plowing in the winter in Dearborn. Where do you get the biggest pile of heavy-duty snow? After they've cleared the street. And it's really hard to shovel that clear. I mean, you could have got out of your driveway just fine, but oh no, after they shovel the street, there's this huge pile of really heavy, because they wet and everything, sort of compacted snow at the bottom of your drive. And so, you know, what do you want? Pro and con? Somebody ought to write an editorial about this. Regan Ford, you're listening. And state your preference. Because it is a matter of a democracy, I think. If everybody votes. I don't think we should call it a democracy unless we get a lot more people voting. But nonetheless. So that's loose leaf is all done for me. And I think there'll be loose leaf for A next week. Yes, November 28th to December 2nd is the last pickup for recycling week A, because they can't pick up all the recycling every week. It's once every 2 weeks. And so the A people, next week is the last time they'll be coming around on your collection day to scoop up your leaves. You have an extra week. Now, there still is a little more time if you're going to be just bagging your leaves. That is specially labeled trash barrels. Get the labels from the library and other places around town. Put that on the top, and then they will dump the leaves from the barrels. But you can also use the paper leaf bags that you can buy in a lot of local stores. And I just tried them last year for the first time. I'll have to admit, for those of you who are into trash barrels or just giving up on that, if you buy one of the plastic foldable or unfoldable scoops to insert in the bag first, it's really rather easy, almost as easy as putting the leaves, like, from your backyard, which is too far away to, you know, get to the front for the last several weeks. It really works pretty well, but the weather's getting colder, so that's a problem. But bag leaves can be put on the curb, not on the street, for collection on trash days each week, but only until the week of December 5th through 9th. So not this week, but next week is the last week they're going to pick up bag leaves. They'll pick up bag leaves this week, even in Area B, and also a week from Monday, starting a week from Monday in in areas B and A, both. But then, oh my goodness, you can't put it out again until, let's see here, March, sometime in March 2017. I know 1 year I got a little behind, and so I had five barrels, trash barrels of leaves in my garage for 3 months because I missed all the pickup time. And that's always unfortunate. And hopefully you have enough room in your garage or somewhere to let those leaves accumulate. Now, I think all this is just very complicated, okay? And there's got to be a better way to inform people. I know they tried the e-newsletter. They have the stories in the local newspapers, and it's on their website, cityofdearborn.org. So I think there was a mailing even to my house. I'm not sure. I think there was. So they're trying to let you know, but you've got to read through. It was about 3 pages of information about the loose leaf program and that was sent out 2 weeks ago. And I always believe that simpler is better. And I think if you've got to do this loose leaf collection, we've got to spend a little money and get that big sucking truck to come back. That vacuum truck is the best way to go. And I know it means I have to give work to a couple extra people and probably not city employees. But if you really want to get the street cleaned up and be a service, then that should be the answer. How do you save money? Don't plow the snow until it gets above whatever you think. 8 inches? 9 inches of snowfall? Because right now they're coming by, it seems like every time you get 3 to 5 to 6 inches, and then, you know, that doesn't hold any car back, at least none that I know of, okay? But then there's that hassle with the snow pileup at the end of your drive, and you weren't going to shovel because there wasn't enough to shovel on either your sidewalks or your driveway, I don't think. And cars didn't need the help. Oh, excuse me, it is a law in Dearborn that you have to shovel your walks. You got that? You have to shovel your sidewalks. And I happen to live in an area where there are no sidewalks. but, you know, where there are sidewalks, you've got to clear those sidewalks. You know, they will become icy and dangerous for the mailmen, mail persons, and others, kids out for a walk or playing. So got to shovel that walk regularly. But the streets don't need that much shoveling until there's really a big downfall. So I think if they would have half as many times shoveling and plowing the streets, depending on the weather, if they would wait until it's really serious, like 8 or 10 inches or more snowfall, then we could put the extra money in that loose leaf collection. That's what I suggest. Also, it's been very warm weather, folks. Don't you look at the temperatures? Don't you look at the number of leaves on the trees? This whole thing should have been 2 weeks later this fall. This whole loose leaf pickup, and at least 2 weeks later. Now, last couple of years, they've extended the pickup of the bagged leaves for an extra week. And I would hope that they would decide to do that this year because, again, I've got 30% of my leaves that haven't even come down yet. So not just for me. I know some people are lucky. They don't have any trees nearby. They don't have to worry about this. But a lot of us in the older neighborhoods of Dearborn got a lot of leaves. So try to help us out here, City of Dearborn. I know you're listening. Well, let's see. Also in the newsletter, December 5th, and that's week from Monday, is going to be their tree lighting and sing-along at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center starting at 6 p.m. So circle that on your calendars. At 6:40, festivities will move outside the building's west entrance for that actually starts indoors. For some music from the Dearborn Youth Symphony. And then outdoors, they go at 6:40 to light the big city Christmas tree. And the mayor will be there and all kinds of other people. That's at the Ford Community Performing Arts Center. Starts at 6 on Monday, December 5th. Dearborn's Christmas tree lighting and sing-along. Afterwards, there'll be cookies, coffee, and hot chocolate available in the lobby. And Santa Claus, in this case, it's spelled C-L-A-U-S-E. So I guess he has a subject and a verb with him because he's a clause now. Not just a fragment, not just a phrase, he's a clause. grammarian that I am. Shame on me. All right, let's listen to some opinions here. Another voice, two voices, in fact. Here's the commentary of Jim Hightower that we just got about takeaways from that election. Remember the election? I don't think we're going to forget that election for at least 4 years. And also commentary from Jack Lessenberry about Michigan water. No, not Flint, but take a listen here.
When a political puck named Dick Tuck lost a California Senate election in 1966, he said, "The people have spoken, the bastards." So now that the people have spoken up for Donnie Trump, were they saying they embrace his xenophobic, nativist, far-right policies? Not at all. Most Trump voters say they went for him because they think he'll shake up America's elite establishment, not because he's a conservative. In fact, majorities of people all over the country voted for very progressive policies and candidates this year, including these ballot initiatives. All four states that had minimum wage increases on the ballot passed them: Arizona, Colorado, Maine, and Washington. Plus, a South Dakota proposal to lower its minimum wage was rejected by 71% of voters. Two states, California and Washington, had initiatives calling for repealing the Supreme Court's Citizen United decision that has allowed corporate cash to flood into our elections. Washington also voted to provide public funding of their elections. A Minnesota initiative to take away the power of state lawmakers to set their own salaries, moving this authority to a bipartisan citizens' council, won 77% of the vote. In addition, many solidly progressive firsts were elected on Tuesday, such as the first Indian American woman in Congress, Pramila Jayapala of Washington, the first Latina U.S. Senator, Catherine Cortez Mastro from Nevada, the first Indian black woman elected to the U.S. Senate, Kamala Harris from California, and the first openly LGBT governor, Kate Brown of Oregon. This is Jim Hightower saying, Trump is in the White House. But the takeaway from voters in this election is a mandate for progressive economic populism and more diversity among public officials.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Fifteen years ago, a group called Michigan Citizens for Water Conservation sued Nestle Waters North America, a division of the huge international conglomerate, over its plans to withdraw vast amounts of groundwater in Osceola County in northwest Michigan. Nestle wanted to siphon 400 gallons a minute from the aquifer to bottle and sell at a profit. The environmentalists were concerned about what this would do to nearby rivers, streams, and ultimately Lake Michigan. After years of legal wrangling, they came to a compromise in 2009. Nestle agreed to siphon off only a little over 200 gallons a minute. By the way, Nestle, or any private property owner, can legally take all the water they want from their property for free, except for a $200 yearly fee to the state. Technically, they aren't allowed to sell it outside the region. But that restriction is pretty meaningless, since the fine print allows them to ship it to Outer Mongolia, as long as they do so in containers smaller than 5.7 gallons. Frankly, I wasn't very happy with even that compromise. When it comes to the environment, I've always been a disciple of Joni Mitchell, whose most famous song contains these profound words, "Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone." I'm aware of lakes and seas in the former Soviet Union that have been utterly destroyed by irresponsible environmental policies. But now Nestle wants to perform a major expansion at its bottling plant in Mecosta County and pump 400 gallons a minute. The Michigan Department of Environmental Quality has not yet approved this huge increase, but I have to tell you that I'm not hopeful. After all, this is an agency which, under the Snyder administration, has pretty consistently put profits ahead of people. The MDEQ's record of complicity and cover-up in the Flint disaster is well known, and the then-director was fired. But since then, the agency has approved the profit-seeking church's plans to drill for oil in densely populated Southfield. The MDEQ did this over the objections of the mayor, the city council, and angry residents, some of whom live near the church and depend on well water, which could easily be endangered if something went wrong. When it comes to deciding whether a company like Nestle should pump out even more water, the DEQ does have something called a water withdrawal assessment tool that looks at the potential impact on fish and water flows. According to a story in the Detroit Free Press, when Nestle's plans were put to the test, the company's plans didn't pass. But, well, Nestle appealed, and then, what do you know, the DEQ staff decided to override the test results and announced that the increased pumping is not likely to cause an adverse effect. This is a familiar pattern with the agency, it turns out. Again, the final decision hasn't been made, and it's possible that the agency could do the right thing. I realize we're heading to the age of Trump, where all indications are that our natural resources may be seen as profit centers. But you don't have to buy Nestle's Ice Mountain water, and unless this is satisfactorily resolved, I'll bet some people won't.
So the brand of water, bottled water, is Ice Mountain. And it's, it doesn't sound like a good idea to me. And how can that happen? Is that a private for-profit company, yes, they pay taxes on their property, but they're making a huge fortune from selling Michigan water. And can we really trust the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality after the whole Flint fiasco and, our, for that matter, our state legislators and our governor? No, not in terms of environmental quality. We can't trust them. So, again, if you're shopping and you got to have bottled water, people of Flint, there are some places where their water filters aren't working. And a federal court, you know, last week said, and I think I mentioned on the show, but I meant intended to, that the state of Michigan has to provide bottled water for those homes, and I don't know what the reason is, those homes that don't have working water filters. And, of course, the state of Michigan said, no, we can't. It would cost us $10 million a month. Yeah, but people would be drinking clean water. Is there a right to clean water? Legal question. Why is it difficult to figure that out? Seven students in Detroit, you know, in the last week, they had a lawsuit against the state of Michigan saying, we have a right to literacy, to know how to read and write, and we don't. We got graduated from the Detroit public schools, and we don't know how to read and write. Now, of course, I assume and you assume that they take some responsibility in that learning experience, but so many things are bad about Detroit public schools. Okay, even the facilities, and, you know, with the rats and the buildings falling down and other things that have been reported and documented. Well, that's going to be adjudicated anyway. Yes, our court system will figure it out. And Jack Lessenberry commented on Michigan Public Radio a couple days ago that it could take years to figure out if students, and this would might apply everywhere, have a right to learn to be taught how to read and write by the time they graduate from high school, for gosh sakes. I thought reading and writing should be going along pretty well by the time they got to sixth grade, but I guess I'm wrong about that. It seems pretty obvious to me which way it should go there, but, you know, assigning responsibility in a court system, at least the one we have these days, is not easy to do. Anyway, Ice Mountain is the Nestle brand of bottled water. Do what you think is best there in your choices. Big story locally, just announced yesterday in the Press and Guide website, Moo Cluck Moo. That's right. I'm not just making sounds here in the studio. That's the name of a burger place in Dearborn Heights. And they opened 3.5 years ago, and they're closing this Saturday. And Wednesday, they had a message posted on social media, on their social media site, saying, regretfully, after over 3.5 exciting years, we will be closing our doors at our Dearborn Heights location this Saturday, November 26. We're most grateful to all those who supported us and hope to see you one last time. And let's see. They were known for a limited menu of sandwiches that was healthy meat, organic, local, and their slogan was, it's fast food, but it's better food fast. And gourmet hamburgers, chicken steak sandwiches, french fries, chicken bites, and salad and milkshakes. The goal, according to the owners, was to bring a fine culinary experience to the fast food genre, offering these all-natural beef and chicken things, and never frozen meats either. 100% gluten-free menu until just recently when they added a regular bun. And also, this was great. They right from the beginning, they paid their employees a better than average $12 an hour to reduce turnover of employees and create a happier workplace. Today, let's see, 11 to 8, they will be open, and 4 to 8 p.m. That's not a commercial for them. I'm just saying farewell to a business that was, I think, trying to do the right thing. And I went to a restaurant closing a couple of years ago. It was a German restaurant in West Dearborn on Michigan Avenue, and one of my favorites. I went there several times a year. Well, after it was announced on this show and others that they were closing, people from everywhere in this area seemed to turn out and long lines into the parking lot to get one last meal at this German restaurant. And the owner was, of course, happy. They did great business for the last few days, ran out of every food that they had, and tried to serve everybody something, if you were flexible. But, of course, her comments off to the side, I heard her say, "Why didn't they show up for the last 10 years? Where were they?" You know, you got to support your local businesses, whether they're restaurants or whatever they're selling, or they won't be there for you. And they can be very special experiences and do really good things for you and the community if you give them a chance. That's the takeaway, as they say on public radio, from this. Not an advertisement for Moo Cluck Moo. Okay. Dearborn Schools update real quick. This is from Press and Guide, November 20th. Yes, of course, the schools are going to get more millage money thanks to voter support for the Wayne County RESA millage, regional money that was voted in favor of in November 8th. And Dearborn will get about $2.5 million. Now, Trustee Joseph Guido, who is not continuing on the board next year, but he's been there 23 years. Is that what it says? Yes, 23 years on the board. He suggested that the money be added to the fund balance so that we don't have to borrow money over the summer, because we had to pay about $20,000 plus to borrow money just for a couple months in between the financial support from the state, because the state of Michigan provide 77% of the funding for local public schools. It comes from our taxes paid locally, but that money goes directly to the state, and then they give back, well, most of it, whatever they figure this is worth. And so $20,000 to $25,000 a year in that interest. And so just a good idea, you know, boost the fund balance with that extra money, and then you won't have to borrow money this coming summer. It's a simple answer, unless there's more direct needs, and that may be what the case is, but that was his recommendation. How many people are in Dearborn Public Schools? Well, we've had an increase, and the official count this fall is up 700 from last spring. So we're 20,700 students is the official count in the Dearborn K-12 system. And, of course, Henry Ford College, I believe, has enrollment of about 20,000 full and part-time people. So one of the few community colleges that actually gained enrollment in the whole state of Michigan. We must be doing something right here. Okay. So we have an interview now with, that was recorded just 2 days ago, with our Vice President of Academic Affairs here at Henry Ford College. I'd like to play it for you now as our last story on the show. If you've got a master's degree or a master's degree plus experience in some especially specialized area, we're hiring here part-time teachers. They're called adjuncts. And here's the story. We have Vice President of Henry Ford College Academic Affairs Area, Dr. Michael Nealon, in the studio with us now. And he's here specifically today to talk about a adjunct job fair, which is something kind of new and different. I don't know if there's been many in the area, even at other colleges like this one. And it's coming up on Wednesday, November 30th. Welcome to the WHFR Journal, Dr. Nealon.
Thank you, Jay. It's great to be here.
And this is your first official visit, although it's just going to be brief today, and I apologize for that. But with the holidays coming up, we had to do this interview pre-recorded, actually, a little quicker. But going to invite you back in January because, see, Dr. Nealon is new to Henry Ford College administration team, and we want to give him at least a semester to get his bearings before we bring him back and ask him for more details about his background, which is pretty exciting, I think, and very unique, and certainly we're very happy that you're now a part of this whole experience at Henry Ford College. But back to the point, the adjunct faculty job fair. I know that the word adjunct means part-time, so we're looking for faculty to teach maybe a class or two or so each week, starting in the winter semester, in a number of areas here at the college, and in order to facilitate that, there's going to be a lot of department heads and maybe even a dean available right here in where WHFR is, which is the, it's in the building next to the Student Center at Henry Ford Main Campus, 5101 Evergreen Road, Andrew A. Mazzara Administrative Services and Conference Center. But it's easy to find folks right at the front of the campus, Building L. There's a big L on the building. We're the M building, by the way. The main building, of course. No, and L is on the main campus. So it's going to be next Wednesday, November 30th, from 11 to 4. It's free to everyone who might be considering. Maybe it's a new idea for you. If it's an old idea, that's great, too. We want to have you in, but we're looking for more people on our faculty to teach a class or two a week in some very special areas. About people coming by. Now, they don't have to pre-register for this, but what would you recommend if the idea of maybe teaching at our college is exciting, interesting, maybe a great new choice for them? What should they expect when they get here? Maybe what should they bring with them?
That sounds like a very good question. I would recommend bringing a current resume and any copies of licensure, especially if you're going to be interested in teaching in some of our occupational areas. At this point in time, there's no necessity for you to bring transcripts or anything of that sort. We'll probably have the opportunity to even do a mini interview with those folks that we can match to interests and needs. Again, thank you for saying that there will be chairs and deans that are available too, so you'll get to meet some of the folks who are going to make the decisions as to what we're teaching and where our specific needs are.
Mm-hmm. Well, this list here I have in front of me is got 26 areas that are looking for additional adjunct faculty here at the college, and we'll read a few for you. But we should let you know, just so you don't misunderstand by coming here and saying, oh, well, I've just been working at McDonald's and I think now I'll teach at college and with no prior education. So it does say right here in front of me, a master's degree in the subject matter directly related to the teaching assignment is required, or a master's degree in an unrelated area plus 18 graduate credit hours, that's above senior level, in the subject matter directly related to the teaching assignment are necessary. So that's those two requirements, and it could be a master's degree in an unrelated area for certain of these subject areas, but those 18 graduate credit hours, and let's see if I remember, a master's degree is about 30 additional hours, sometimes more.
A master's degree is usually 30 hours.
30. So, they'd be about a little beyond about halfway through a master's program. But maybe it could be graduate hours they just pick up here or there that relate to their subject matter, too.
Yeah. Let me share this with your listeners. Just like the individual student, a learning community also needs to continually grow and to learn from itself. So this is an opportunity for us to kind of grow our professional staff. And we are always looking to introduce new teachers, new researchers, new creators, new artists, new technicians to our classrooms and to our students. You're right, this is a long list. In fact, it extends from American Sign Language and astronomy all the way to zoology. Not that we teach a great number of zoology courses, but a person who would have a master's degree in zoology would more than likely be capable of teaching some of the biology courses that we have here at the college. Mm-hmm. So again, come on in and let us help you take a look at your credentials and qualifications and find out where you fit into our learning community.
Yeah, I would mention, too, that some of these are occupational specializations, such as automotive technology, manufacturing maintenance, medical insurance building, or welding. And those require various combinations of education, work experience, and also licenses and certifications. So again, in some of these areas, it might take more than the master's degree.
Actually, Jay, in those areas, the master's degree may not even be required. Yeah. Because as you said, it's the portfolio of experience that you have as a professional, which is established also by the certificates and licenses that you have earned along the way, that actually speak louder to us. One of the wonderful things that I think our students get by being in a classroom with an adjunct faculty member is that quite often those are professionals in their field who maintain full-time jobs in the area of their discipline and area of expertise, but who want to give back to the community and who enjoy working and seeing the light bulbs go off over new hopefuls who really want the full-time job that you have. And so it's exciting sometimes to see a student be able to respond to someone who is bringing real-world, real-life experiences into the classroom. We were just working on this the other day in the office. What do you guys think you might want to do? Or what would you recommend? Or how might you use your creative imaginations to solve this problem?
That's right, yeah. Very valuable. Also, it sometimes happens, although it not always, but I know a member of my family many years ago was here taking a degree in allied health area. And even before she completed all of the classes required, she was close, but the teacher said, I know there's a need right now at formerly what was Oakwood Hospital, Beaumont, Dearborn now. And it was crazy, but she went over there and she got hired. And then, of course, she completed the work here, too. But so sometimes even these people, because they're out there, as you said, working full time in these professions, they also know where some of the jobs are, some of the openings that might come up quickly, too. Not necessarily going to happen that way. But I'm just saying that's the kind of close connection to the real world of work that an adjunct faculty person can provide. And sometimes it works out like that. So let me go down the list quickly here. American Sign Language. And I should say these 26, by the way, folks, I think we have over 110 degree and certificate programs or more at the college right now. But these are the ones we're especially looking for adjunct faculty right now. American Sign Language, Anatomy and Physiology, Arabic Language, Astronomy, Automotive Technology, ASE Certified, Biology, Chemistry, CNC Gauging and Inspection, Computer-Aided Design Systems, also known as CAD, Computer Information Systems, CIS, Criminal Justice, Electrical Manufacturing Maintenance, English Composition, one of my personal favorites, where I was first hired here at the college, English Language Institute, that's for students who do not speak English as a second language, or would be speaking English as a second language. English is not their native language. We have a great, by the way, English Language Institute. I know a lot of the people from the English department that help form that, and it's really an amazing, amazing facility. French Language, Fluid Power, Machine Tool, MasterCam NC, Mathematics, Mechanical Manufacturing Maintenance, Medical Insurance Specialist, Physics/Engineering, kind of the same area, Respiratory Therapist, Sociology, Spanish Language, and Welding, too, as well as, Dr. Nealon, what you mentioned, and that is all areas at the college, someone who's interested in adjunct faculty position, they can apply. They can get the application, I think, even online from our Human Resource Center and, just begin getting their information here. And as needed, if we don't have a need currently, the appropriate dean or a departmental area or coordinator can look that up and get in touch with them too. So it's actually all areas. Let me go back and finally, just why is a job in teaching at Henry Ford College, obviously adjunct faculty is our topic today, why is that good? Why is it a good idea? What's so great about this place? And I know you've only been here a semester, but go ahead. Just give me a couple ideas.
But I can say what is truly inspiring about the learning community that we have formed here at Henry Ford College is that we live our mission. And it is all about transforming lives, building better futures. And I would imagine that anyone who feels that vocational calling for giving back to the community, for sharing with others, would find it very easy to get excited about that same mission. It also is a very well-paying job. We pay a little bit above the median insofar as the 28 community colleges in the state of Michigan. There are opportunities, again, for adjunct faculty members to get to know the programs in which they're teaching, to explore teaching online as addition to perhaps teaching face-to-face in a classroom, and perhaps even looking towards a full-time position here at the college. Though, as they say, many adjunct faculty members keep themselves busy in their professional fields, or perhaps you're teaching in retirement. So you've already retired from your primary job, and this is a way that you can keep yourself active while actually helping others.
Well, we know that it's pretty competitive these days for a job in full-time teaching at a college. But certainly the best recommendation for a teaching job in college, besides, of course, the academic work and maybe some background experience in certain areas, would be success in adjunct teaching. And I mean, that's something that could be quantified, recorded, and it's in your personal records, and it can help you get a job either here or somewhere else when the situation opens and when things are right. And that is the best experience because you're actually doing it.
It's very true. And what makes the community college experience different from that at the four-year university or the research-oriented college is the fact that we put our primary focus on teaching and learning. And so our students get in a classroom, whether it's a full-time faculty or an adjunct faculty, they're working with a professional who knows the field really very well, but who is there in order to teach others. Rather than being there as something that I do between the time that I'm otherwise working independently on my research or working to promote my own career. Really, we are a learner-centered college. Students come first.
We want to thank Dr. Neline for coming by to the WHFR Journal. And we just want to mention that, again, that adjunct faculty job fair, trying to hire more part-time teachers here at Henry Ford College in 26-plus areas. It's going to happen 11 to 4 next week, Wednesday, November 30th. Right here on the main campus of Henry Ford College, 5101 Evergreen, just south of Ford Road. And the building is the Administrative Services and Conference Center, also known as the Mazzara Building. You see that name on the front of the building, facing Evergreen Road when you come in. It's open to the public, hope to get some new teachers on campus to handle all these students here. Well, hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and I hope you have a great